following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Weather's getting warmer, and that means it's time to start working on your yard. Right now at O'Reilly Auto Parts, pick up a SuperStart lawn and garden battery starting at $21.99. Springtime means yard work, so stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts for a SuperStart lawn and garden battery you can count on. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices, every day.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
All right, cement's been floated. Hey, Flo, it's time to...
pretend we're celebrities getting our stars?
No, it's time to trowel.
Oh, yeah, trowel, definitely.
You want to write your name in it, don't you?
Maybe just a smiley face?
All right.
Insuring your business vehicles with Progressive is like having Flo on the road with you. 24-7 live support, online bill pay, and expert claims. Now that's Progressive. Visit Progressive.com today. United Financial Casualty Company and Affiliates.
This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Victoria Anzoretska, you know, though, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? Think Midway.com.
No. I don't think that's just it's minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one. Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show.
And good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show on this Friday, the final day of February. The month gets shorted with only 28 days. I could use a February 29th this year. It'd be a Saturday. I could handle that, Jimmy Lang.
You know, the thing of it is, I always was looking at, you got paid once a month.
So you know, February was the best month?
Well, by far.
Hell yeah.
I mean, you know, there's 28 days. I would like to get another month. You know, trade August. We'll get that down to like 24 months, 24 days. I mean, get that down to 24 days and then just take off that week.
Yeah. The bosses have to think they're getting shorted, don't they?
Oh, in February they do.
Yeah, there you go. We've got a pretty full show for you again today. Coming up, Stephen Bardo of the Big Ten Network. Talk Big Ten men's basketball. The Huskers, Iowa. The team, Ohio State, suffering some losses here the last couple of nights. Nebraska, of course, can they bounce back, go through this final three-game stretch? Just his thoughts on the league as we get ready with two weekends to go. We'll talk with Josh Harvey, Big Red Report. Husker football, spring practice begins next week, Pro Day. There's some new names that are out there right now that the Huskers are already looking at for 2015, and some of those are from in-state. And we'll talk with Steve Anderson from Fauner Park. They're going to be racing, and we'll find out what week two has in store. Plus, girls district basketball finals tonight. Boys district finals, sites and times have been set. We'll get to all of that, but... you know, there's hockey, there's danger football, there is a ton of stuff. Baseball's going on. We'll try and get to it all. But, Jimmy, I hate to let some of the big stories of the day go, like Richie Incognito and his baseball bat. Everybody knows that this guy has just – you want to believe in him. You know, he sits down and does a couple interviews, and he looks like a great human being. He's one of those persons that turns the switch on when he's on the field and is a psycho. But he just – there's just something – like most people thought, there's just something not right upstairs. And I don't care if you're an athlete or not. You got to feel for a fellow human being that has to try and find a way to get his life right. And now he's got to do it in the public eye.
Well, you know, I remember distinctly Coach Tanneper one time was wanted to pull him out of the game because he had lost his temper and had snapped. and was yelling at other offensive linemen, and then he and hit a guy from the other team, and there was a 15-yard penalty when we had first down and goal at like the 8, and then the ball's the 23, and Frank Solich was the head coach, and he wanted him out and to get him out of the game, and there was a big argument about on the sideline whether we should leave him in or not. You know, and I remember that was the first time I thought, boy, dude, this guy's a loose cannon here. That's our guy. That's acting like this. Well, this is a real bad deal, you know, because it wasn't a 15-yard penalty that happened, you know, with 10 seconds to go in the half, and it didn't really mean anything. I mean, he didn't clearly think through this. You know, this is the only time we even got close to the goal line, you know, in a very important game. So I remember that happened, and then I remember Bill Callahan came in, and it was one of the first things he actually did was this guy was removed from the football team. Then he went to Oregon and never played a down. And there's no doubt that this guy can play. And, you know, there's a lot of athletes, Doug, out there that can play and that are good athletes. But you cannot tolerate some of the things that they do if they continue to hinder you and hurt your team. And I mean, you know, try to imagine what it's like at practice. Yeah. I mean, the guy goes to a golf tournament and he did what he did to that female. You know, if he's doing that, what do you think he's going to do at practice maybe or in the locker room? I mean, you know, or a thing you're going, hey, you know, because you want your workplace to be comfortable. And that's the one thing I don't understand about this a little bit is, hey, you know, people go, well, this is the way we talk at home and this is the way we act. Well, you know, we all act a little different maybe at home or if you and I were in the car just going someplace compared to what we might act to when we're on the radio, you know. But, I mean, so I – that's a workplace. So I you go ahead and tell me how you feel about that because I just kind of, I mean, you know, talked a little bit about what I remember
about it. I feel bad for him.
Yeah.
I feel bad for him. And, again, from a personal standpoint, not from – what he has done to himself and to other people, because you're still making decisions, and obviously this all started, you know, you can write a book about it. Some psychologists can give you all the reasons why his home life was all messed up, and they sent him out there. But hopefully he's able to get some things worked out. But, I mean, when Bill Callahan told him he was off the team, and this is fact, he picked up Bill Callahan's desk and turned it over into his trophy case in the office at the university.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, you know, that seems to be his reaction to almost any confrontation, is that is the type of reaction he has. So hopefully they get that turned around. I think we've seen the last of Richie Incognito in the NFL. I really do. Why bring that baggage on? Even if he is a great football player. And then here's the deal. If he mellows out, doesn't he lose his edge on the football field? Which is unfortunate. A couple other things. I know Sunday you are looking forward to the Oscars. Who you got?
Yeah, I didn't even know it was on.
Jimmy Langan is a red carpet guy every time he's ready. I mean, I think some of you guys now, when it's time for a game, they roll out the red carpet for you guys to come out for pregame warm-ups, don't they?
No, I'm pretty sure that didn't happen.
I thought that was right for the hospitality room. A couple other things. Congratulations to Thomas Conley. It is official. He is going to walk on at the University of Nebraska. Confirmed that early this morning. And so Kearney Catholic had never had a Nebraska football player. Now they've got two, both Blake Holtmeyer and Thomas Conley, being preferred walk-ons at the university. He will sign that paperwork this weekend. Conley just winning his second straight state championship in wrestling. So congratulations to Thomas. Jabba Chamberlain pitched his first inning yesterday as a member of the Detroit Tigers. Scoreless inning, got a strikeout. Him and Joe Nathan now both with the Tigers.
You know, back on Thomas Conley, when I officiated him in football and in baseball, tremendous kid, really good behind home plate, good catcher. You know, I mean, I'll tell you what, there was a couple foul balls that were going into the crowd, and I thought, hey, just let that go. But he didn't. He went right through a cement wall to try to get the thing. And I was always kind of concerned about it.
The cement wall?
Yeah, both. Both. Like, hey, you know, but hey, what a nice kid. You call a strike three on him, and he just goes to the dugout. And different than a lot of kids that, you know, on strike three. But I'm happy for him. That's good.
Also, Jimmy, I got some more big news.
What happened?
I got some big news. You want to know what it is?
If it's about the Oscars, I'm in deep
trouble. No, it's not about the Oscars. This is sport.
Sport. Okay, go. Yeah. Is this bowling?
No. The NCAA Men's and Women's Rifle Committee has announced the teams and qualifiers for the national championships that will be held on the campus of Murray State in Murray, Kentucky, March 14th through the 15th. So that's 2 days. The top eight teams in both the small bore three position and air rifle events were selected based on the average of the three highest regular season aggregate scores with no more than one match at any given site. The average of the three highest scores were added to the aggregate scores from the designated qualifiers to determine the top eight teams. And yes, the University of Nebraska-Lincoln women's rifle team is one of the eight national qualifiers. Let me give you some of their competition.
Okay, I want to hear this.
Alaska Fairbanks.
Uh-huh.
Jacksonville State.
Oh, they're good.
Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
Memphis. TCU. West Virginia. And the United States Military Academy.
You know, I think it was Jacksonville State? Is that one of them in there? They said, yeah, they're good. And I'll tell you what, their relays. It's their relays. You know, they get that relay where you get the 300-meter shot relay, you know, where you've
been watching the biathlon, haven't you?
They put something in their hand so they don't get hurt when the stray bullet hits them, you know what I mean? It's kind of, and then they get to, then the new guy comes in and shoots, so you've got to hit him, and then you got to go back.
The William Tell competition is what I like.
That's a 1,200-meter relay.
And the second-ranked Nebraska women's bowling team is competing this weekend at the Central Missouri Women's Invite in Kansas City. Beginning today, Nebraska looking to make some noise. It's just starting, by the way, with the five-game Baker total pinfall matches. Saturday marks the individual competition, and the tournament will conclude Sunday with the best 4 of 7 Baker match play. So if we don't get everything covered, and we've covered that, then we've got a problem out there. We're going to take a break on the Doug and Daddy Show. When we come back to the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth, we're going to catch up with Josh Harvey of Big Red Report. Stay with us.
J-E-R-S-E-Y-S-O.
Lace him up.
Right away. Three.
Strap it on.
Three to try to win it.
Pull it over. You're going to Jersey's, where the high-def big screens put you there, along with great food, cold drinks, great fans. It's simple. Jersey's attracts real sports fans, the kind like you, who wear the team colors on their back, their loyalty on their sleeves, bleed their team's colors. Jersey Sports Bar, Vista Point, North Kearney. It's like a courtside ticket.
For the win. Up, got it, the buzzer. Oh, my.
What is focus? It's the fusion of clarity and alertness. It's when you're in the zone, on top of your game. It's the confidence that comes with saying, I can and I will. It's when you feel like you can do anything, accomplish everything. Because with focus, nothing seems out of reach. So reach for a 5-hour energy and get the feeling of focus you need to get things done. For details and disclaimers, visit 5hourenergy.com.
Wendy's presents Granada and the Ciabatta.
Wow, your bacon cheeseburger looks different.
It's on toasted ciabatta, Renata. See, she got a ciabatta, he got a ciabatta.
Wow, you all got a ciabatta.
Oh, well, except Greg. Now he's persona non grata.
Go beyond ordinary with Wendy's new ciabatta bacon cheeseburger with chopped roasted tomatoes, Asiago cheese, and a rich garlic aioli sauce, all on toasted ciabatta bread.
I am loving this ciabatta.
Now that's better.
At participating Wendy's for a limited time.
More exciting high school sports action comes your way this weekend on our network of stations and PlatteRiverPreps.com. Friday night, it's girls' district finals. Here on ESPN, Giltner takes on Bertrand. On 1230 KHAS, St. Cecilia battles Sutton. And on Classic Hits 98.9, Ravenna takes on Dundee County. All games tip at 7. Then the Kearney High boys are at Lincoln Southeast Saturday at 5:15 here on ESPN. Plus complete coverage of the State Dual Wrestling Championship here on ESPN and Classic Hits 98.9 Saturday.
Increasing clouds today with our winds picking up out of the north 10 to 20. Highs will reach into the middle 30s. For tonight, snow showers will be developing with breaks in the clouds, breezy, and our lows falling back to 2 above. I'm meteorologist Greg Tatro. Right now, it's 30.
If you like pina coladas and getting caught in the rain.
Ton of stuff going on this weekend as we get ready for Fat Tuesday. Mardi Gras going on. Party time for the folks out there, and it's going to be darn cold, so maybe you do need to do a lot of dancing if it's going to be this darn cold. But we'll see what's going on. Hey, folks, a way to warm yourself up is to have a great meal from Troutman's Quality Meats. And even though the weather is downright cold, it means you need to head to Troutman's and load up on all the comfort food. Grab some ground beef, make some chili, try Troutman's short ribs. Oh, See, now I'm thinking of home, short ribs. Oh, so good. Maybe a boneless ham. Make ham loaf or ham and beans. Dad is there right now saying, give me the ham bone. We are going to make some soup, some ham and beans. Folks, if you want some comfort food, they've got it for you. If you want to grill steaks, they've got it for you. If you want some prime rib, bingo as well. All beef at Troutman's is USDA Choice Certified Angus Beef, and their quality steaks are aged a minimum of 30 days for peak flavor and tenderness. Always a large selection of fresh and smoked sausage as well. And if you haven't tried their fresh frozen seafood, again, they don't even have to turn the coolers on this time of year. It's fresh. It's frozen. It's there for you. Troutman's Quality Meats, a grill's best friend. East Highway 30 in Kearney. Open 6 days a week. Stop by, see Carrie and the gang. And it's not too far away. Once Easter starts, make your plans. Get things booked with Troutman's. And before you know it, gift cards for graduation, Mother's Day right around the corner. It seems to fly by real, real quick. Going to talk a little Nebraska football here on the Doug and Daddy Show. And yes, even though National Letter of Intent signing day was this month, they are already working on and with Junior Day and all these camps and everything that the coaches have some time to maybe travel a little bit before spring football. There is plenty going on. And our Husker recruiting update is brought to you by TNL Irrigation Systems, proven technology that's easier on you for a lifetime. And Josh Harvey joins us on the Doug and Daddy Show from Big Red Report. Josh, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great, guys. How are you?
Well, you know, we're working out, basketball, wrestling, winding down for us, and spring football starts next week. Why is it so busy? Is this, again, it seems busier to me on this recruiting front this season before spring football than in the past. Is that the case or not?
Yeah, I think that's partly the case, and I think I would guess your next question is going to be, why is that? And I think a large part of it is because the 500-mile radius that we hear so much about from the Nebraska coaches is a really strong, you know, group this year. I mean, there is a lot of talent within that 500-mile radius, which is allowing kids to kind of get to Nebraska easier, which has kind of accelerated the recruiting process for a lot of these guys that Nebraska's recruiting at this point. And so I think that's why we're seeing so much more recruiting news than maybe in years past, because what would happen in years past is they would offer a kid, say, out of Florida or Texas or California, and while that relationship is started, they usually have to wait a while before they can get that kid to visit. And now we're seeing guys come in. They're expecting two big visitors this weekend, just a couple weeks after their junior day. And so I think, you know, that's really the biggest reason why is that 500-mile radius is so strong.
If they didn't come to Nebraska's junior day, the possibility is they were at somebody else's. Who were some of the kids that are coming in this weekend that might actually be strongly considering Nebraska?
Well, the two biggest kids that are coming in this weekend are the Davis twins from Blue Springs, Missouri, Carlos Davis and Khalil Davis. Now, they were here for Nebraska's junior day earlier in the year. They actually wanted to commit from the sounds of it. Khalil Davis told us, hey, Nebraska's our number one. But it turned out to be a situation where the mom really wanted them to just go back home and think about it. And I think a lot of Nebraska fans started going, mom doesn't like us. And I don't think that's the case at all. I think the family is just really trying to make a decision and kind of stick with it and not necessarily be one of those recruits who, commit and then down the road are visiting somewhere else 2 months later. It sounds like it's going to be a package deal wherever Carlos ends up, Khalil will end up there as well. Carlos is probably the better defensive tackle of the group, but Khalil is definitely no slouch. He's a high three-star player, a top 30 defensive tackle in the country. With both of them coming back less than a month or so after being here for junior day, I have to imagine that both of those guys commit, which is great news for the Huskers if they can land it before the spring game, because those two guys are very high-profile guys, and those are guys that if you have on your sidelines committed during the spring game, that's going to really, I think, say a lot to a lot of other recruits within those 500-mile radius. It would definitely be two nice gets.
Yeah, Jim Langan here. I know in the smaller colleges, some of the best recruiting that they can do is something like this. They get a brother, and then he's got a couple friends that also play at a school maybe close to him, and et cetera. And I think at the bigger level, that's probably not the case. Is this a rarity kind of here where you got a couple brothers?
Yeah, you don't see twins very often that are both this talented. I think, you know, a lot of times we will see a set of twins and both play football, and one, you know, super talented and the other one's just an average player. I don't think that's the case with these guys. I think a lot of people will look at Khalil Davis and go, there's no way Nebraska would want him, but I don't think that's the case. I think if Carlos Davis committed elsewhere, Nebraska would still be recruiting Khalil Davis if he was on the open market. I mean, he's that good. I think scout.com has him ranked as the 28th defensive tackle in the country, which is definitely no slouch. And so I think it is rare to see, this set of group that's this talented.
We're talking with Josh Harvey, Big Red Report, here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Doug Duda, Jim Langan with you on today's program. One of our emailers wants to know about A.J. Harris and Quadri Henderson. What can you tell us about those two?
Well, Harris is a guy who I think will visit down the road, but at this point I think Nebraska has got a long ways to go. I just feel like there's too many offers out there. He's a guy within the 500-mile radius that I know Nebraska would really like, but it sounds like he's going to probably visit Ohio State down the road. Was here for UCLA, so definitely knows the kind of the atmosphere at Nebraska. It'd be nice to get him back on campus. And then who was the other one?
Quadri Henderson. Have you heard of him?
Yeah, we have heard of Quadri Henderson.
Well, you've heard of everybody. I shouldn't have phrased it like that, but Quadri Henderson.
No, and Henderson, you know what, to be completely honest, I haven't talked with him ever. That's my associate, Brian Munson. And Brian will actually have a story on him tonight on BigRedReport.com. So I'm kind of waiting for that one. I won't throw anything out there and pretend like I know, because I have yet to talk to him.
All right, let's talk about in-state. Another preferred walk-on came from our backyard this morning in Thomas Conley, whose teammate Blake Holtmeyer of Kearney Catholic already had accepted that on signing day. And I'm talking with a variety of folks with your service, with others, that there are some pretty good kids in the state of Nebraska, even outside of the Metro kids that we all know about and the outstanding running back in Omaha. What are you hearing about the upcoming senior class of high school players in Nebraska?
You know, I think it's definitely a strong year again. I think it remains to be seen whether it's quite as strong as last year. I think last year was one of the better years in the state's had in a long time when you talk about Harrison Phillips and Nick Stoltenberg and whatnot, and DJ Foster, Luke Gifford. But I think this year is definitely strong again. I really like Michael Decker out of Omaha North. I think he's a guy who's eventually going to be a Nebraska Husker. Everyone wants to know about Calvin Strong and whether he gets an offer. At this point, I don't think he's going to. I think a lot of things would have to change, not just some of the off the field stuff that's been documented before in the various newspapers and whatnot, but I think as a player as well. I don't know if he's necessarily a slam dunk offer as a player. After that, I think there's a group of four or five guys who are pretty talented, who are on the cusp of getting a Nebraska offer, but are guys that, if they end up in Ohio or a MAC school, I would definitely not be surprised.
Josh, spring ball is getting ready to go. Pro day is getting ready to go. Do you know a whole lot of interest in the pro day that Nebraska will have next week? I know a lot of people are curious about what Taylor Martinez will do.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are curious what Taylor will do, how he'll look, and possibly what some teams will want him to do. A lot of scouts come down and then they kind of have these little mini workouts with guys, and Taylor might be thrown at a couple different positions, according to some sources, and it will kind of remain to be seen what teams want him to do. I think there'll be some interest there for Quincy Nungwa watching. I doubt he'll run the 40 again, but I have a feeling that a lot of teams will be trying to watch his catching workout because he didn't do that at the combine because of the hammy. I think a lot of people will be curious there because drops are one thing that are on his profile that he would like to erase. And I think people will want to see Stanley Jean Baptiste 40 time again. He ran the 4.61 at the combine. I don't think surprising, but somewhat disappointing. I think if he's a guy who can get that down to 4.5, high 4.9s, he's a guy with his vertical and with his size that is going to attract a lot of people. I don't think the 40 necessarily hurt his draft stock because I don't think anybody thought he was a burner. But if he can come out and run just an amazing time, one of his best times ever, I think he's a guy who could maybe slide up a round or two because of it.
I saw where they're going to move Nathan Gary And it looks like he's going to be playing safety instead of linebacker. Is that because we're going to be weaker in the secondary, or we're going to be stronger at linebacker?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a large reason because they're going to be stronger at linebacker. I also think that Nathan Gary's, that's really his position that he's most natural at. I had heard a couple times last year around this, quietly that he didn't necessarily feel comfortable at linebacker, was playing because he felt like that was best for the team at the buck spot and felt like he could contribute there, but that, all in all, he really wanted to get back to safety down the road. And so it doesn't surprise me whatsoever. You turn on his highlights from high school, the kid was a dynamic safety, and if his weight is going to be kind of hovering around where it's at right now, I think that's, his natural position in college. That said, I wouldn't be surprised still if he did get some buck reps, just because of the fact that he has played the position before, and in certain passing situations, I think he could be a guy who, could benefit from being in that second level compared to, back in the secondary.
Huskers will miss about three guys at least because of injury from spring ball. But, Josh, what are you looking for? What's your storyline that you're going to be paying attention to this spring?
I think on offense, I really want to look at that offensive line in two steps up. I think everybody wants to know who the starters are, but when I look at offensive lines, I think about the guys who've been at that position the last couple of years. There was so much experience, but there was also so much leadership between the Jeremiah Searles, between a Spencer Long. Who is that leader now on the offensive line, and who is that guy who, can get after his teammates in the huddle, whether it's an offensive lineman, fellow offensive lineman, or a position player for maybe missing a hole or missing a block? Is that Jake Cotton? I mean, he's got the most experience, but I don't know if that's, I don't know if a leadership role is, really his thing. And so after that, who is it? So I think on offense, that's kind of really what I'm looking at. And then I think on defense, the cornerback spot opposite of Josh Mitchell is probably my biggest storyline. Who steps up there? I think there's some names that were pretty talented players in high school, but is one of them going to take the take the reign at that position? I think the secondary in general, you got to like Cooper and you got to like Mitchell, but I think it has a lot of question marks after that.
How much of a quarterback race do we have, Josh?
I'm not getting into that because I don't think there is one,
okay,
to be honest. I know that that's the topic that everybody wants to have every spring, but I just can't get around the fact that you have a guy in Tommy Armstrong who's gotten experience, who is a better high school player than Johnny Stanton by most accounts. I know Johnny Stanton probably has more pub, but Tommy Armstrong was a more decorated high school quarterback, at least. He's got the experience. I think he's now going to be playing in an offense that's a little more tailored to him instead of Taylor Martinez. Sorry the pun there, but I just think that they're going to find ways to get him a little more comfortable in this offense. And with that experience, with the leadership that we've heard about from that he kind of just spews. I mean, you got guys like Kenny Bell and Amir Abdullah just saying how big of a presence he is in the huddle and whatnot. I just have a hard time imagining Johnny Stanton, dethroning him. Stanton's also coming off an injury his high school senior year where he tore his ACL. I don't know how completely healthy he is. I mean, I think he's fully back, but that kind of remains to be seen. And so I have a hard time imagining there being a quarterback race at this point.
All right, Josh, I know you love watching the Husker basketball team as well. Little hiccup at Illinois, but again, there was nobody that thought that they were going to run the table here at the end of the year. Just your thoughts here on the home stretch for the men.
I think they still can get in. I think they can beat Northwestern at home, obviously. That Indiana game is key. I think everyone wants to look at the Wisconsin game, but I've even talked to a couple of Wisconsin reporters who feel like Nebraska is going to win that game, especially if they got something to play for. And so I think the Indiana game is key. It'll be interesting to see how these guys bounce back tomorrow. But I really thought at times on Wednesday, Nebraska just looked like they were pressing. And I think the pressure and all the talk really got to this team, maybe even more to Teran Pettaway, just because for days we've been talking about, whether he was a viable candidate to be conference player of the year. And he struggled. He did not look like himself. And so I'll be really interested to see how these guys bounce back.
I noticed that you are like many when it comes to this bubble talk, you know, who's ahead of Nebraska, who's ahead of, it doesn't even matter, pick a team. You know, Missouri right now is ahead of Nebraska, who was ranked earlier this year. Do you think Nebraska in the end could be hurt by the brand, by them being Nebraska, by not having been in the tournament in umpteen years?
Yeah, I definitely have to think so. When you have humans, you know, part of the process, I think that's just a given, whether they say it is or not. When you're in that selection committee and you see three teams and two of them move into the NCAA tournament, say, 5 to 10 times since Nebraska's last trip, I have to think that's what's in. And so that's why I think Nebraska, I think they need to win to be completely safe and not to have to worry about it whatsoever. I think they need to win the next three and one game in the Big Ten tourney. I think that, you know, really kind of just solidifies their resume and gets them in. Anything less than that, I think you're taking a big chance on hoping that, you know, somebody will vote you in and is at large. And I don't know if that will be the case.
Big Red needs another 4-game winning streak. All right, Josh, hey, thanks for the time. As always, enjoy spring ball. We'll catch up with you soon.
Hey, no problem, guys. Talk to you later.
Take care, Josh Harvey. Big Red Report. Check it out. BigRedReport.com, Scout.com, part of our coverage of Nebraska football and our TNL Husker Recruiting Update brought to you by TNL Irrigation Systems. TNL Center Pivot owners have come to expect quality and dependability with every TNL irrigation system. So to assure many more years of reliable irrigation, schedule your annual preventative maintenance program today, because performing basic maintenance in the off-season will pay you back when the summer heat arrives. Oh, can't wait for that. Call your independent TNL dealer to thoroughly inspect your machine from the pivot point to the overhang. TNL Irrigation Systems, easier on you for a lifetime. Stephen Bardot of the Big Ten Network, Stephen Anderson from Fodder Park, and where and who is everybody playing in district basketball when we come back.
What is focus? It's the fusion of clarity and alertness. It's when you're in the zone, on top of your game. It's the confidence that comes with saying, I can. And I will. It's when you feel like you can do anything, accomplish everything. Because with focus, nothing seems out of reach. So reach for a 5-hour energy and get the feeling of focus you need to get things done. For details and disclaimers, visit 5hourenergy.com.
Well, Flo,
This
is what you call a clogged drain tap.
Yep, looks that way.
Might need a drain extension, some new compound.
Maybe a flange or a twirly thingy.
A twirly what?
Or what you said. Those sounded great. Let's go with that.
Insuring your business vehicles with Progressive is like having Flo on the road with you. Low down payments, great discounts, and flexible billing options. Now that's Progressive. Visit Progressive.com today. United Financial Casualty Company and Affiliates.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Health insurance is changing. You have new options, but which one is right for you? As authorized independent agents for Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, Farm Bureau Financial Service agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers know health insurance and can help you understand your options and the differences between them. Contact Rich Peters and Matt Myers and see how they can simplify the process and help you select the right health insurance policy for you and your family. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska is an independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC, affiliate Farm Bureau Financial Services.
Increasing clouds today with our winds picking up out of the north 10 to 20, highs reaching into the middle 30s. For tonight, snow showers will be developing with breaks in the clouds, breezy, and our lows falling back to 2 above. I'm meteorologist Greg Tatro. Right now, it's 32.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Back in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Final day of the President's Day sale at Midway Chevrolet Buick Cadillac and the Truck Month sale at Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. 28 days in February, and they are still always ready to make you a great deal with their everyday low hassle-free prices, plus some of the great deals they get from the manufacturers. New, pre-owned, certified, it's all there for you. Don't forget their Midway Certified program gives you a year of oil changes, the 6-month, 60,000-mile warranty on the vehicle, 2-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty. It's all there for you at the Midway Auto Dealerships. And on a cold day like this, if you want to check it out online, they've got their Facebook page. They've got great deals if you just need some maintenance on your vehicle. It's all there online where you can see everything at thinkmidway.com. Even some of their smiling faces. Well, before we join Stephen Bardot here at the Big Ten Network, Jimmy, let's run down what we've got going on in basketball. All the sites and times have been set for next week in C&D, Class C District Finals. These games are on Monday. Kearney Catholic, Grand Island Central Catholic will play at Hastings College. Cozad will play Valentine at Broken Bow. It'll be Sutton and Donovan Trumbull at Hastings High. Ravenna and Kimball will play at North Platte. And all of those games are at 7 o'clock Monday. Then on Tuesday in Class D, Shelton and Fullerton will play at Grand Island Central Catholic. Overton and Cambridge will play at Holdridge. Kennesaw and Elwood will play at Kearney Catholic. And again, all of those games tip off at 7 o'clock. A and B continuing over this weekend and into next week as well. As we said, Class A, Kearney High plays tomorrow here on ESPN Radio at 5:15 at Lincoln Southeast. Tonight, the girls' district finals. Congratulations, by the way, to Kearney High. They get into the state tournament. Big win. Big win. They've won 13 of the last 14, 63-59 last night at Bellevue East.
Yeah, it was a huge win and a happy for them, too. They've, like you said, they've really competed well this year and played really well down the stretch here.
There is one more Class A district to be played tonight, and it looks like if the favorite wins that, Kearney would get number 2 seed Omaha Benson. Kearney is 7th in the wild card points this morning, and Bellevue East is actually still in the 8th slot to get the wild card. So if nothing drastic changes, that would probably be your matchup at state. The B5 girls final tonight should be a dandy. Northwest and Holdridge round 3, and then you have got also the Class C and D girls district finals tonight. Here is the schedule for you. In Class C, all of these games are at 7. Central Catholic Minden, that is at Hastings College. Sutton St. Cecilia at Hastings High on 1230 KHAS. Ravenna, Dundee County Stratton from North Platte will be on Classic Hits 98.9. Red Cloud and Humphrey St. Francis, they are playing at Grand Island Central Catholic. Elm Creek and Arapahoe, they are playing at Lexington. And Giltner and Bertrand are playing at Gibbon, and you'll hear that here on ESPN Radio. Should be some good ones out there with state berths on the line, plus state swimming continues today with prelims in the state dual competition tomorrow. 8:30 for A and D. Grand Island, Hastings, Kearney are all in A. Amherst and Sutton from the area in D. And those three rounds beginning at 8:30. Get the coffee for some. I'm not a coffee person. Give me some fruit. Give me cookie. Give me some juice. We're going to be ready to go 8:30 tomorrow morning here on ESPN Radio live all the way through. And then the evening sessions, B and C, you've got teams like Adams Central, Lexington, Shelton, Kennesaw, Central City, Sergeant Burwell. The opening matches will be here, and then we'll switch over for the evening matches on Classic Hits 98.9.
Doug, you're right. It's a very exciting time for spectators and athletes right now. This is all these games and all these activities in all these schools. Nebraska does a really nice job of really presenting this, and then also the fans and the relationships people are gaining by participating in sports. It's great for high school right now in February and early
March.
I
love it.
Yes.
We are down to the final 2 weekends of the regular season for the men's side of the Big Ten. Of course, the women wrap things up this weekend with Nebraska having a chance at the Big Ten title. And the Nebraska men, 3 key games left, but things seem to have gotten a little strange, maybe outside of the top 2 in the Big Ten Conference. And Stephen Bardo of BTN joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. He's seen a little bit Nebraska and his Illini getting payback earlier this week to even the season series. Stephen, thanks for joining us again on the Doug and Daddy Show. How are you?
I'm doing great, Doug, and appreciate you having me on.
Well, it's great chatting with you again. What is going on in this Big Ten Conference? I mean, every year, something crazy. I mean, nothing ever goes to form. But I want to start not with Nebraska. I want to start with Iowa, who a month ago people thought could win the Big Ten Conference, and now they're heading the wrong way.
Yeah, Iowa's probably been the most disappointing team in the Big Ten this year. A lot of people, including myself, had Final Four possibilities for this team based on their leadership, their veteran play, and their depth. But for some reason, they seem to be not inspired. I watched their game closely last night at Indiana, and Indiana's not an easy place to go get a victory, but they're by no means should they allow Indiana 90-plus points. And in their last three losses, they've given up an average of 84 points a game. You're not going to win in a possession league like the Big Ten. You're not going to win giving up 84 points per game.
And is it something that they can fix? Is it something that you see that's is an X and O deal, or have they really hit the wall?
No, you know, I think that they can fix it, but here's the thing that I believe. The teams that get out of the Big Ten Conference, that get into postseason play, whether it be the NCAA tournament, NIT, I think they're going to do very, very well, because what happens is all these schools are so well scouted. All these programs, each program knows each other's tendencies. And so now if Iowa gets out of the Big Ten and gets in the NCAA tournament and starts to play a team from, let's say, the SEC or something like that, their depth, the way that they score the basketball, the way that they use their pressure, I think will be much more effective than it is against Big Ten teams that know every little wart that every team has. And so it's been disappointing to see them not live up to the expectations that a lot of people thought they would, but they can redeem themselves quickly here if they can get on the back on the track of playing better defense.
Talking with Stephen Bardo of the Big Ten Network here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Ohio State gets stunned last night, and they all of a sudden have seven conference losses. Are they just not filling in around Aaron Kraft?
You know, I just think that they really struggle to score the basketball, and it's been a consistent theme for them all season. You know, LaQuentin Ross is a really good scorer, but he can't carry the load. He doesn't have the type of versatility like Deshaun Thomas possessed last year, a guy that could get you 25 a night, and you knew he would. This team, however, you know, Sam Thompson is starting to come on after being reinserted into the starting lineup, but they just don't have the offensive firepower. And for a guy like Aaron Kraft, last night he had 5 turnovers, 4 fouls. He looked out of control at times. He seems to really be pressing towards the second part of the Big Ten slate. And it's kind of unusual to see a guy with that much praise, with that much experience, go through games like we've seen him have this season.
Stephen, one of the questions, now that Nebraska fans have realized that they have a chance at least to be in the Big Ten or in the NCAA tournament, is they're wondering why Minnesota appears to be in the tournament while Nebraska is still fighting to get in. Do you have an answer for those folks?
I think it's because of the non-conference schedule. When you look at the loss to UAB, those losses early in that Charleston tournament for Nebraska really hurt their overall profile. Whereas when you look at Minnesota, they got a chance to go to Maui, so they played Syracuse. They played a very good Richmond team that I think is going to come out of the A-10 and be a NCAA team. Minnesota's non-conference slate is much stronger than Nebraska's. And I think Nebraska had a few opportunities. They had a chance at Cincinnati, and they had another really good opponent in the non-conference, and they lost both of those games. And so I think that's what's hurting them right now as compared to Minnesota's overall resume.
A couple more minutes here with Stephen Bardo of the Big Ten Network, talking a little hoops as we head into the final weekend, final 2 weekends of the regular season. Now that Nebraska dropped the game, Wisconsin is the hottest team in the conference. Your thoughts on the Badgers?
Well, when the Badgers were going through their slide midseason, they weren't defending as well as Bo Ryan teams typically do. And once they got back on track with the defense, then their offense kind of kicked back in. And this is a team, you have to remember now, Wisconsin, this may be the best team to advance in the tournament that Bo Ryan's ever had. And the reason I say that, Wisconsin has won games in the 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, and even 100s. So when you, when you've been able to win games over that much variety of scoring and styles and whatnot, I believe Wisconsin has 7 or 8 wins against the top 50, one of the highest numbers in the country. This is a team that's starting to right the ship at the right time. And once again, they'll be a team that once they get outside of the Big Ten will really give other teams fits just based on their versatility on the offensive end and their commitment on the defensive end.
Steven, let's get to what Husker fans want to know about. Your thoughts now on Nebraska. They put themselves in position, lost to Illinois. Nobody thought that they were going to run the table and win the last 9 games in the conference. But they've got Northwestern, huge game at home tomorrow. I suppose they all are now. Then they have to go to Indiana. And if they're in position to make the tournament, that Wisconsin game, and now that they're red hot, seems to be crucial at Pinnacle Bank. Anything that you've seen over the last couple of weeks in Nebraska's game, and what do you think their chances are coming down the stretch?
Well, I'd like to tip my hat to the University of Nebraska, first off, because what people don't understand with the success of the basketball program, the university made a commitment before the program started winning. So they got together and said, you know what? We want a basketball program that is similar to our football program that can be competitive every year. They went out and got Tim Miles. They made the right commitment to resources. And so they've provided a fertile situation. And now Tim Miles is able to come in and do his job. The recruits are kicked in. Guys are buying into the program. And so I'd like to tip my hat to the university because that's unusual for a program that hasn't had a lot of success in basketball. And people think, oh, they're Johnny-come-lately, they're overnight successful. No, this has been building for a couple of years, and the university did the right thing. With that being said, what I see from this Nebraska team is a team that is finding new success. And what happens is when you have a team that's found new success, it's hard to maintain that throughout a conference like the Big Ten. So, Teran Petaway is a redshirt sophomore. Shields has some experience. Gallegos is a senior, but after that, this is the first go around for Pitchford. Parker is relatively new. You've got guys who are in, this is uncharted territory. So going to Illinois, like you said, you could see where Nebraska might slip up because, you're feeling good, people are patting you on your back, and you still have to get ready to play Illinois like you got ready to play at Michigan State. And yet, 18 to 22 year old guys, they don't do that. It's just natural for younger people to look at Michigan State and say, okay, we're going to dig our heels in. And then look at Illinois. Oh, we blasted them 3 weeks ago. We can beat them and not be ready to play. So it's a maturation process. I think that Illinois game got their attention. I think they'll take care of business against Northwestern. The key game will be at Indiana. They'll be ready to play against Wisconsin at home and Pinnacle Bank. But the key game is that game at Indiana. If they can summon the courage to really be ready to play and leave it on the floor. If they can win that game, I think that'll be their key, whether they can get an at-large bid to the NCAA tournament.
Finally, Steven, if Tim Miles isn't the Big Ten Coach of the Year, who is?
I got to say John Beilein. I mean, you lose Trey Burke and Tim Hardaway Jr. to the NBA draft. You lose an All-American center in Mitch McGary, and now you're at the top of the Big Ten Conference, pretty much in the driver's seat to win the conference race. I think he's done a fantastic job. They've been 3-3, I believe, in their last 6 games, but they've still been able to weather the storm. They've beaten Michigan State twice this season, so they own the tiebreaker there. I just think that Tim Miles is right there. He's a close second, but I have to tip my hat to John Beilein for the job that he's done.
Steven Bardo, former member of the Fighting Illini. He's got a couple of great books out. Check those out online or at your local bookstore, and follow him on Twitter as well. We'll catch up with you again, Steven, before the Big Ten tournament. To have a great weekend.
All right. Thanks a lot for having me. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Steven. Steven Bardo joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show as we head into the home stretch of the Big Ten season. Our Midtown Mart cooler question of the day. Midtown Mart, home of the coldest beer and coolest topics in Hastings. Should the NBA add a four-point line, Jim Langan?
Wow. Wouldn't that be something?
This is discussion. There's discussion. It's a four-point line. How far back is it going to be? Have you heard, Jeffrey?
No, I haven't.
I guess they
would have to widen the court, though. For those corner threes, you know, because where would you put them in the corner?
Well, you can't. Yeah, most guys don't have size 6 shoes that they're playing in the NBA. They can hardly get inbounds anyway with that in the corner there. You wouldn't be able to shoot it in the corner.
What do you think?
I mean, they're not going to widen the floor, are they?
No.
I don't think so either. You know how much money that would cost?
But they don't care.
Hey, you know, they ought to have it. They were going to have a 4-point shot contest. You know, what are they going to do? Limit you to how many you can have? Remember in home runs, like in slow pitch softball, you only get to have one home run or two for a team, and then anything after that, it doesn't count. I mean, what are you going to do with that?
You can only hit a 4-pointer in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, the fourth quarter.
When you're coming back.
Yeah, that's right.
Yesterday, I say no. Who deserves most to be ranked number one in college basketball? 67% of our listeners say Wichita State, 25% Florida, 8% went with Syracuse. I think I said Florida, didn't I?
Yeah, you end up voting Florida, even though you felt like Syracuse, you know, is the best team, but they've just been struggling of late.
So there you go. Vote anytime at ESPNSuperStation.com. We're going to head over to Fodder Park, talk with our man Steve Anderson right after this.
This is that sad time of year again when you're unhooking your propane bottle and wheeling that grill into the garage for the winter. I know you'll miss her. This is Jeremy at HK Sports Bar and Grill, and I've got some great news for you. We never put our grill away. Every day is a backyard barbecue for us. We're talking burgers that require both hands, juicy Nebraska ribeyes, baby back ribs, even smoked brisket. So throw that cover over your grill and get down to HK Sports Bar and Grill.
Come on in, let the games begin.
When my husband turned 30, I didn't think much of it. I know men start to lose testosterone levels after 30. I just wasn't sure what that meant. Now I do. He gained weight, became moody, depressed, made excuses all the time to not have to do anything physical. It even got to the point where he never wanted to be romantic. A friend of mine told me about ManCore from Complete Nutrition, so I picked up some for my husband. He started using ManCore a little over a month ago. He's becoming himself again. He's lost 10 pounds, got his spark back, and is in much better moods. He's back to being the guy I fell in love with. If the man in your life isn't what he used to be, it could be low testosterone levels. It happens to all men. ManCore is specifically formulated for men over 30. It helped my husband. It can help yours too. ManCore from Complete Nutrition.
Find Complete Nutrition in Grand Island just north of Gordman's off Highway 281 and in Kearney just north of Sun Mart on 2nd Avenue.
Complete Nutrition.
The Subway Steak, Egg White and Cheese. Hot, hearty, and surprisingly under 200 calories. You heard right. Even with tender, juicy steak and melty cheese on toasty flatbread, it's a morning time monument to deliciousness. And at Subway, it's under 200 calories. The protein-packed steak, egg white and cheese. One of many better breakfasts under 200 calories. Subway, eat fresh.
At participating restaurants, calories refer to 3-inch breakfast mounts on flatbread prepared to standard formula, including egg white. Visit Subway.com for full nutritional information.
Golic, we have Protection One at our house.
And they protect our home, too.
Best feature for me, mobile control. I use my phone, see what the kids are doing, turn on or off the lights, or just arm and disarm the system anywhere I am.
Best feature for me, Protection One customer service. They have live operators, an A-plus Better Business Bureau rating, and offer same-day service.
Plus, with a national footprint, they protect nearly 2 million homes and businesses today.
Oh, no, we actually agree. Protection One is the best defensive player pick.
Get a Protection One home security system starting at just $99. Go to protectionone.com/Mike.
I'll be right back at it by the end of the night.
Can we get in that airplane to the night sky like shooting stars?
So
I can really use a wish.
Doug and Daddy
right
Show,
now,
Central Pulaski's
right
ESPN
now,
Radio
right
Superstation. Our last show of the month. I'm sad that February is gone. I wouldn't be so sad if I knew March was going to bring us balmy temperatures, but all I know is that no matter what the weather is like, you can always have a good meal at Big Daly's Deli. Two locations in Hastings by Duncan Field, which is always great when it's baseball time, and downtown as well. Top of the Hill, Kearney, 3905 North 2nd Avenue. What are we going with today, Jimmy? Friday's our favorite time. You give us a number. You give me a number. I'm going to tell you what you want.
What 17. What do you get for 17?
Crab and seafood. That's a little something different. You get crab and seafood. You put whatever you want on there. Put the cheese on there. So you went crab and seafood today. How about the number 29? Today would be a good day for roast pork dip.
Yep.
Like a French dip. How about a roast pork dip? That's hearty. That's it's going to stick with you. It's going to be good, good, nutritious food. No matter what you want, they'll get it for you. Home of a bazillion sandwiches, because you can go in and you don't ever have to have the same sandwich twice. Change the toppings, change the cheese, change the bread. It's all good for you at Big Dally's Deli. Two locations in Hastings, also in Kearney. Steve Anderson joins us on the Doug and Daddy Show. Steve, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Doug Duda, Jim Langan. I was down in my three-point stance until about 2 minutes ago. We got late-breaking news, and you're the first media outlet to release what is not good for the hometown folks, especially if you're a thoroughbred race fan. We have live racing today, gentlemen. We've got Chamber of Commerce weather outside right now. The sun is shining. There's no wind. Temperatures in the upper 30s. Nine races set to go. Very competitive card. Come on over. Spend the day with us. And relax. Enjoy. Try to hit that pick five. It's growing ever so slowly, but it should go over the $5,000 mark today. We have live racing, a nationwide simulcast. However, I have never seen this before at this advanced time or date because of the predicted adverse conditions. And I really thought that tomorrow we'd charge right through it if we didn't get any snow and have racing. But it is now official and been confirmed by COO Bruce Swihart of Fonner Park that there will be no live racing on Saturday or Sunday of this weekend. Now, we will be open both days for nationwide simulcasting. Doors unlocked at 11 o'clock in the morning. I'll be out there to mix it up some of with the diehards and the derelict cronies that I've come to know and enjoy over the years.
Thank you.
But, boy, this month, March, is Doug, it looks like it's coming in like a lion.
Okay, folks, once again, Steve Anderson saying that there will be live racing today at Fonner Park, but because of the weather, Saturday and Sunday, live racing has been called off. There will be nationwide simulcasting. Post time today is at 2 o'clock. And Steve-O, you said this morning in your report here on ESPN Radio that usually cold is not a problem. The guys can handle it. It's the wind, it's the rain, it's the snow. Just kind of expand on that a little bit for the folks that maybe didn't hear your report this morning or what goes into this, because we kind of rehash it every year. Usually we know, well, look at the weather out there. There's no way they're racing, but, it's something we talk about all the time.
Actually, I can't express enough how horses, 99% of them, they flourish in cold temperatures. The only problem is that the younger horses primarily more susceptible to coughs and colds. And once you get something like that going in your barn, it seems like it spreads and they've all got it within a 48-hour period. Having said that anyway, most horses can't sweat, or at least a good percentage of them. When it really gets hot and humid, this is much more traumatic on their bodies than it would be a normal human being. It's the humans that are suffering, and I had a long discussion yesterday morning with our apprentice rider, Tori Gandia. She comes down from Canada here, from Ireland originally, and her agent, Jerry Jewell, who rode for years and years and years in Nebraska, and they got it down to a science. They basically tomorrow, and I thought they could and would have run on Saturday, with temperatures predicted in the upper teens, that they would just come out, go straight to the starting gate, no post parade, and subject the jockeys and the horsemen, the pony boys, the outriders to less than 5 minutes to the elements or back in. They warm up, and we do it all over again in 25 minutes. But it is, I witnessed it firsthand yesterday morning. I spent about 30 minutes out on the track watching workouts, and the last three mornings have been brutal. It was about 7 degrees all three mornings, and now I see on Sunday the projected high is barely above zero. And these riders would go out and gallop a horse around the oval a couple of laps, maybe three tops, and come back in and get in the tack room, and they'd have space heaters there. I mean, they were suffering. I I really had never experienced or seen that that up close over the years. Now, some of my older compatriots like Wayne Anderson and Doug Shep that rode back in the 60s and 70s, they'll tell you that the new generation has just gone soft. But, you know, they used to ride mud up to their kneecaps. You know what I'm saying, Jimmy? And now just a hint of rain, and that's even a threat not to ride. But it's part of what we've always had to deal with here at Fawner. The unfortunate thing is we're down to only 31 live racing days to begin with. When I started calling races 11 years ago, we had 44 days. So losing 2 days, now you're almost talking about 10% of the season, and we're still not out of the woods yet as far as the weather's concerned.
Yeah, you know, there was a time when Fawner never did cancel. I mean, I remember going out and scooping snow as fast as I could so I could get my car out of the garage. So I could get to Fawner Park and about 8 inches of snow on a Saturday, and they would run, and they never canceled. But then probably not a great thing to have to say, hey, we're never going to cancel no matter how bad the weather is. But hey, I got a question for you. On the four furlong races, I see a real bias still. On the outside. On the outside, and I also see closers. What's your feeling?
Well, the very first race would shoot holes through half of that theory, but I think you're on to something that has evolved over the last few years, especially since they banked the turns, Jimmy.
Yeah.
The horses, you still want to be playing up on the front end. You're not going to make a living in Nebraska on these 5/8-mile ovals. Going a half mile especially, but even so, going three-quarters of a mile, it's still a speed bias kind of a track. If you can get to the turn and you're one, two, or three, you got to have a Seabiscuit, Sulky Sullivan kind of a close to get the majority of the candy, so to speak, when they hit the wire. But the outside portion of the track certainly is golden. But the inside of the track, Jimmy, the first race last Friday, first day of the meet, Gee, She's Gold with Mike Zierling Irons. And Mike, the old veteran rider he is, he really likes to be on the front end. He finds himself mid-pack or farther at the top of the stretch and had nowhere to go but up the rail. And he came up the rail from probably 7 lengths off the pace and just got there. I mean, at the shadow of the wire. And I called it wrong. Even the spotters next to me that were charting for the form, they didn't believe it, even watching the replay, that the lead horse didn't get the photo. At any rate, the rail is better than what I think you want to give credit for, Jim, only because most of the riders now, on our circuit especially, are riding so wide, it defies explanation. I think if you get somebody with a big pair of kahungas that decides to go against what the majority of them have been doing the last couple of years, you're going to see at least the track bias on the inside maybe not be quite so firm as you might even be led to believe. Does that make any sense?
Yes, it does. And I did have a horse that ran third for me in a 9.84 trifecta box that I hit, or it might have been an 8.94, but the winner and the second place horse were closing. Well, the four came up the rail to get somebody, so they all three closed. I do agree that the rail may not be that bad when you turn for home. I don't like it at the start.
I agree with you there. Out of the four furlong chute, which is an area they don't work nearly as much, the maintenance crew, at least from my observation, as they do the main oval. You know what I'm saying?
And exactly
I also think that probably into the far turn where it starts to bank, that there's a little bit of drainage issue there. And maybe a hole or two opens up occasionally over on that corner as well. Just because of the natural way that the earth moves its bottom, so to speak. And so they're avoiding that rail. But it's good coming down the lane, Jim. You're absolutely right.
Just a couple moments left here with Steve Anderson, Fawner Park track announcer. Again, they are live racing today but have called it off for live racing Saturday and Sunday. There will, of course, be great simulcasting. I'm beginning to get more worried every time we talk, Steve, and this is only week two. Is Jimmy Langan up for season two of Horse Players?
You know, have you watched any of those?
I've heard a lot.
What do they call them? Documentaries, whatever. I mean, these are legitimate horse players. If Jimmy comes back over here, and we'll have another handicapping contest or two before the live meet's over, and can back up his stuff that he showed us here a couple of weeks ago, I don't see why there's any reason we can't release him against the big boys.
Well, one other thing, I guess, before I forget here, because I've got it on my notes, you guys had a little extra heat over there at the cafe. How are things setting over there?
Still a lot of smoky smell in the air. This thing could have been disastrous. From the little bit of information that I've picked up, they seem to have pinpointed the problem. They're not 100% sure. In a mechanical room that was also being used for some storage in the 4-H Cafe, which sits right below the administrative offices. And we have two phone systems throughout Fauner Park. One probably dates back to whenever they invented the phone. And the newer version is what they think there was a short caused in. So about two-thirds of the system burned up as a result of that. The short created some spark of some kind, and there was some paper products in there, whatever, that actually started smoldering, caught fire. Thank heavens the maintenance people were all down at the paddock area, video people, their main offices, and their truck right down there. And they smelled this thing immediately. They told me they went through every fire extinguisher that they could actually put their hands on. And this thing momentarily was a scary, scary deal. They had it put out. It basically was a two-alarm fire. Probably every truck in Grand Island showed up from the firehouses. But to my knowledge, they never hardly even got out of their trucks. It was taken care of prior to their arrival. If this thing would have happened 2 or 3 hours later in the middle of the night, who knows what could have happened. But that's the scoop on that. It ended up being just a minor thing, but they've had a lot of smoke damage. Every day I see a few more chairs and tables out of the executive suite, which sits right above it, sitting outside that the renovating type guys that are restoring everything are evidently tossing. So if you go in there, the smell's there. You can still, catch that hit of fire that was after Saturday night's racing. But we dodged a big bullet. There are some good news items.
Good.
And that would be one of them.
Well, let's get you out of here with this one. I got Jimmy Langan, who's just, I'm surprised you guys even let him in the building over there anymore. I think his picture's up or else they pick him up at the airport in the limo. But, the Independents got the Greek. They got Monk making some picks. You got anything for us today?
Hey, first race, he'll be 3-5, especially when I start talking about
April,
him.
April, don't
Doug
be giving me these 3-5s.
Race.
Oh, my God, he is. How did he ever get to 3-5? He's like a 20-1 horse.
Too many people with ears that listen out there. I'll give you, Doug, that's the obvious. I like redheaded woman in the ninth race. She's 12-1 on the morning line. I'll promise you she'll go off at 5-2. Those are my two best bets, along with Larry, Larry, Larry.
You the man, Steve Anderson.
What horse is it in the first race you like again?
Doug, yeah, it's Doug. The horse when I bet on it that finishes fourth, and when I just put like a dollar on it wins. Yeah, that's that horse. So
Doug, paid $21 last year one time.
Yeah,
coming out of the one hole too.
Think I was there?
Probably not.
Hey, Steve-O, put all the energy into today because I know we got some folks coming over.
Will do, Doug. David, Jim Langan is always. It's a pleasure, and we can't wait to see you and your fans at the races.
Nothing better than Steve Anderson, Fauner Park, here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Again, we have updates morning and afternoon on our network of stations. Good news, they are racing today. Bad news, they have decided to cancel Saturday and Sunday. And the big thing, they got Danger Football tomorrow. I know people love to do the doubleheader over there, horse racing and the home football game. So simulcasting will still be going on, so check that out. Jimmy, I don't know what other – I'm going to say soccer, Tri-City Storm hockey. What other sport haven't we talked about? Because here, the Nebraska Sand Volleyball team is ranked 7th in the preseason poll. Rifle, sand volleyball, bowling, basketball, wrestling, swimming, horse racing, football. What else have we talked about today?
Have we talked
baseball?
Have we talked golf at all?
Yeah.
We did. UNK's ranked 25th in the nation.
Yeah, if we haven't talked golf, Rory McIlroy shot 4-under this morning. He's got a 3-shot lead at the Honda Classic. Tiger is just on the course. Phil might miss the cut after shooting 71 today. Anything else?
Nope, we're done.
I mean, we kind of stayed away from curling. A lot going on. UNK basketball regular season home finale tonight against Central Oklahoma. Early start time at the Health and Sports Center, 5 and 7. Hastings College will be playing in the GPAC semifinals tomorrow. The men are at Dort. You'll hear that on 1230 KHAS. The women are hosting Morningside. Both of those games will be tipping off at 3 o'clock. Nebraska Northwestern men tomorrow at 4. That is on the Breeze 94.5. And television-wise, it's on the ESPNU network, and the Nebraska women at Purdue Sunday at 1. That will be on the Big Ten network. That's all I got. That's all I can do, Jimmy.
You did good. You had a good week. You know, I think curling, if you're going to talk about curling, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday curling. There's no curling on Monday and Fridays.
I'll keep that in mind. And don't forget, Monday, the organizational meeting for Kearney American Legion Baseball for all boys grades 9 through 12 that will play for either Runza, Little Caesars, Post 52, or Five Points Bank. That is for the players and their parents. Monday night, Kearney Math Area, 6:30 is the go time. Jimmy will be back with us Monday. We're going to talk a little MMA. TJ Hepburn is going to be in studio with us on Monday, and we'll have the field set for the girls' state basketball tournament. We'll discuss that. Recap the weekend in sports. We want to thank Steve Anderson from Fauner Park, Stephen Bardot of the Big Ten Network, and Josh Harvey of Big Red Report for all being on the Doug and Daddy Show today. Whatever it is you're doing, hopefully you can get out and enjoy a great sport this weekend. Jimmy, have a good weekend. I'll see you Monday.
Doug, take care.
All right, we'll see you Monday on the Doug and Daddy Show.
All sports, one source, two stations. KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney. Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over.